The name of the sermon today is Ascendancy. Ascendancy. A-S-C-E-N-D-A-N-C-Y. Ascendancy. Today is the first holy day of the Days of Unleavened Bread in this year, 2021. This first holy day is a memorial and a celebration of your calling by God and entrance into the salvation process. The next holy day has not taken place yet. It is the day that denotes our making it all of the way through this process. All or most of this last week, you have been invoking the living biblical metaphor of de-leavening your homes, cars, and areas where you have control. This all pictures the putting out of sin in our lives. Today we will be discussing one of the most important means in the universe of casting out sin, as I encourage all of us to take control of and manifest responsibility for your mind by stopping temptation. Stop temptation. This most powerful tool is right there in your own Bible to do this. It has been there all along. Let me illustrate with a story that was given to me as a true event. There was once a farmer who had a large ranch somewhere in South Africa. He was a very good farmer and not afraid of hard work to provide for himself and his family. However, his dream was to become rich mining diamonds. He had heard that people were finding diamonds all over the southern part of the African continent. So he packed his bags, bought lots of mining equipment, and left his family temporarily behind to seek out diamonds and fulfill his dreams. He spent a number of years wandering the countryside as his family remained behind to take care of the ranch. However, he never found a single diamond. After several years of hardship and frustration, not to mention expense, he returned home to his loving wife and family, who gladly welcomed him home after such a long absence. A few days later, he was walking down by the stream that ran through his property. He stood there contemplating and wondering what it all meant. He felt himself an absolute failure. Just then, something caught his eye there in the stream. It was a shiny stone of some kind. He bent to pick it up. He could not believe his eyes. It was a diamond. But then he saw another and picked it up. And then he saw still another and picked it up. And soon his hands and his pockets were full of diamonds. His ranch was sitting on acres and acres of diamonds. Here he thought his fortune and success lay far from his home, when in fact it was right there in front of him all the time. Such is the case with us at times when we are desperately looking for answers. In this case, we are seeking the best way to thwart temptation, and is right there in front of us. How many movies or television shows have we seen in our life where the primary character is looking for the means to attain some great goal or task, and the answer was with him all along? I just told you the story of the rancher wanting to find diamonds. Let us read an account from the Bible. Turn to Matthew and chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11 and then verse 17. You know this passage as the temptation of Jesus Christ. This takes place when he began, or before, just before he began his ministry. I have referred to this passage many times in my ministry, but never as immersed as we will experience today. Most of the time when I am referring to this passage, I ask the rhetorical question, did Jesus sum up the entire message of his ministry before his ministry ever began? Let's find out. Matthew 4. Beginning in verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a-hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh them up to the holy city, and set them down on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in the hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. Again the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he said unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now drop down to verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Some questions for you. What is going on in this account? Two, does this account cover each and every temptation Satan brought to Jesus? I only see three mentioned here. Three, what made Satan give up on one temptation and try another? Four, what ultimately made Satan leave him? Was it just his command to get thee hence, Satan? Five, of all the things Jesus preached, why were we given the specific praise, Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand? We will eventually get to the answers for these five questions, but know this now. The absolute best way to defeat sin and stop temptation in its tracks is found in this passage. With this procedure, you will stop temptation. The title of this sermon is Ascendancy. Let us look at the meaning of this word. Ascendancy, the state of being in the ascendant, governing or controlling influence, domination. Ascendant, a position of dominance or controlling influence, possession of power, superiority, or preeminence. Jesus clearly was in possession of power. Two, an ancestor or forebear. Jesus was the forebear of this power to overcome temptation and sin for us. And you realize when I've given you this admonition to stop temptation, I'm asking Christ to do that in and through you as you do. Number three, the meaning for ascendant is ascending, rising. We are ascending to the same level as Christ. What he does in Matthew 4 is what we are ascending to. Fourth definition is superior, predominant. Jesus was superior to sin and temptation. He is showing us to be superior to sin and temptation. God, through Christ, is putting us into a position of dominance and controlling influence. He is putting something into our hands that defeats sin absolutely. He is showing us the path to ascendancy. Full immersion. We just had a sermon on full immersion into the Word of God. It is time to fully immerse ourselves into this Matthew 4 passage and see what is really being said. Go to Matthew 4:4. Matthew 4 and verse 4. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. For the phrase, It is written, go to Matthew 15 and verse 4. Romans 15. And verse 4, For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Notice the meaning of the two phrases, through patience. This does not mean, as our translation might seem to suppose, patience of the Scriptures, but it means that by patience, patiently enduring sufferings in connection with the consolation, the relief, and support which the scriptures furnish, we might have hope. So you know I'm going through a trial right now with this lower back pain that is just excruciating. I am looking for that relief and support. He's made everything else in my life that was negative go away. I'm counting on him for that. And when it comes to stopping temptation, you can count on him for that. I say here, in other words, we are in temptation and sins, part of enduring sufferings. There is something in the scripture that gives us relief and support from the sufferings, and that gives us hope. Now notice the next phrase, might have hope. We may learn here that afflictions may prove to be a great blessing. Two, that their proper tendency is to produce hope. That the way to find support in afflictions is to go to the Bible. To overcome sin, stop sin, and destroy the temptation, go to the Bible. Question is, how? We will answer this shortly. Here is a profound hint, a very familiar scripture. Ephesians 6. Turn to Ephesians 6. And beginning in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein you shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked. Among those fiery darts would be temptation. That's the beginning of all sin, is a tempting thought, a temptation. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit because it is Spirit. It is absolutely Spirit. Note especially the last phrase here, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Just how do you wield this sword that is the Word of God? Clearly Jesus had the sword with him in Matthew 4. Now go to the next phrase in Matthew 4 to see the connecting verses. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. All of the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe and do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou would keepest his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did the fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Jesus was quoting this verse continually, but what did he really mean when he said, live by every word of God? See the next phrase, and we will use the popular commentary of the New Testament. For the phrase, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, the simple meaning is, man is ordinarily sustained by bread, but if it pleases God, under whose providential care he stands, to sustain him by other means, this will be done, and was done for Israel in the desert, all done according to the word proceeding out of the mouth of God. Thus the temptation was overcome. The needed supply doubtless came, and the hungered nature was satisfied without the miracle the tempter suggested. Here we are taught to overcome Satan with Scripture. You overcome Satan with Scripture. the needed supply doubtless came and the hungered nature was satisfied without the miracle the tempter suggested. We are here to overcome Satan with Scripture, to trust God to extraordinary help in extraordinary circumstances. And let me tell you, anytime you're in a trial, I think you'll call that an extraordinary circumstance. As he suffered thus, sharing our needs, we may believe that we can triumph thus, partaking of his fullness. That from the popular commentary of the New Testament. What happens when a man is hungry? He is desirous of food. He is tempted or moved to get food. But thank God he provides us with food. Then the commentary says that there was a myriad of other temptations on us, but God would overcome each by words out of his mouth. And thus the temptation was overcome. That is, every temptation can be overcome by the words out of the mouth of God. Did you see that phrase declaring the meaning of this part of the verse? We are taught to overcome Satan with Scripture. It goes on to say that Jesus suffered extraordinary temptations, lots of them in Matthew 4, and overcame them. Jesus is commanding and encouraging us to triumph the same way he did. While still immersing ourselves in Matthew 4:4, let us go to Barnes Notes commentary. Life depends on the will of God. He can support it in other ways as well as by bread. He has created other things to be eaten, and man may live by everything that his maker has commanded. And from this temptation we may learn that Satan often takes advantage of our circumstances and wants to tempt us. The poor, the hungry, the naked, he often tempts to repine or fret and complain and to be dishonest in order to supply their necessities. Satan's temptations are often the strongest immediately after we have been remarkably favored. Jesus had just been called the Son of God, and Satan took this opportunity to try him. He often tempts us with pride and vain self-conceit when we have been favored with any peace of mind or any new view of God, and endeavors to encourage us to do something which may bring us low and lead us to sin. So what that is saying is, even in your good times and your bad times, you're going to be tempted. Satan will come after you and put thoughts out there. 3, his temptations are plausible. They often seem to be only urging us to do what is good and proper. We saw that in the Garden of Eden. They seem even to encourage us to promote the glory of God and to honor him. We are not to think, therefore, that because a thing may seem to be good in itself, that therefore it is to be done. Some of the most powerful temptations of Satan occur when he seems to be urging us to do what shall be for the glory of God. Now, item 4, and this is a key to our understanding what Jesus did to defeat Satan and make him go away. We are to meet the temptations of Satan, as the Savior did, with a plain and positive declarations of Scripture. How many times have I said that the Scripture is spirit? If you utter a Scripture, you are releasing power. And this is a power that is stronger than Satan. So you saw what Christ did. He gave him Scripture, and eventually he left. We are to inquire whether the thing is commanded and whether, therefore, it is the right to do it, and not trust our own feelings or even our wishes in the matter. That was from Barnes Notes. Now from the John Gill, our Lord hereby expresses his strong faith and confidence in God that he, God, will be able to support him, Jesus, and would do it. Though in the wilderness and destitute of supply, whereby he overcame his temptation of Satan. Christ in this and some following citations bears a testimony to and establishes the authority of the sacred writings. And though he be full of the Holy Spirit, makes them rule of his conduct, a conduct which ought to be observed against those who, under the pretense of the Spirit, deny the Scriptures to be the only rule of faith and practice, and at the same time points out the safest and best methods of opposing Satan's temptation, namely by applying to and making sense of the Word of God. So even the commentaries, when they're looking at the meaning of Scripture, can see readily that the way to overcome is by making use of the Word of God. Stop temptation. We will now go back over those five questions I gave you at the beginning of this sermon and give them specific answers. The questions I gave you. Number one, what is going on in this account? The answer: Satan is tempting Jesus with every possible temptation. Jesus is countering every temptation using the Word of God. Two, does this account cover each and every temptation Satan brought to Jesus? I only see three temptations here. Answer, yes it does. Satan tempted him in every way. You can use your own imagination on that. Think of all the possible temptations. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's been there, done that. But was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. So that's your definitive verse on the fact that it wasn't just three ways, it was every way. Three, what made Satan give up on one temptation and try another? Answer, Jesus destroyed each attempt by Satan with a spoken scripture. Four, what ultimately made Satan leave him? Was it just the command to get thee hence, Satan? Answer, no. It was the spoken scripture that made him leave, and I just told you that a minute ago. Notice what Jesus does the second after he says, get thee hence, Satan. He quotes yet another verse. It was then that Satan finally leaves. Therefore, it was both the command to leave and the quoted scripture. You can utter both continually. I've actually heard people in the church, and I've done it in my life, when these things happen, you can, by the power of the Holy Spirit that is in you, say, get thee hence, Satan. That used to be done a lot more in times past. Number five, of all the things Jesus preached, why are we given the specific phrase, repent, for the kingdom of God, of heaven is at hand? The answer, repentance is much more than just being sorry for giving in to the temptation and sin. There must be an action on our part to overcome sin and destroy the power of temptation. Jesus has just given us the ultimate weapon for repentance. Repentance has always been the central focus and message of all godly preaching, and surely it is the ultimate conclusion to what Jesus did against Satan's massive temptations. When you are caught up in a sin, or even a bad habit, and a bad habit can become sin if you feel that it is a bad habit and it's interfering with your life. I've talked to people that are in bad habits. Now, it wasn't that I was absolutely able to say, you know, that bad habit is a sin, but by their own words, they're saying that this bad habit they have is messing with their life. And you can overcome that by continually, in this action I'm talking about, you got an action on your part, what are you going to do? Because if the sin keeps visiting you, if the temptation keeps visiting you, it's because somebody, somewhere, a being that you know, is trying to take advantage of your weak point. And so it'll keep coming back, and you may find yourself succumbing to that temptation over and over again. The action you're going to take on your part is learning where in the Bible can I combat this, this specific bad habit or sin that I'm having trouble with? Another one is to do what God does. He uses a lot of visual living metaphors in overcoming sin. And there's lots of things you can do. One of the visual aids that I use in overcoming temptation is to imagine God sending 1,000 arrows, pure white arrows, into that thought. And I would expect that if God fired 1,000 arrows at a tempting thought, it would destroy it. Anything that God wants destroyed is going to be destroyed, whether he does it with arrows or by divine utterance, doesn't matter. But if that visual like that helps. So over here on the wall next to my computer, I have a picture of hundreds and hundreds of arrows coming down towards the ground where the temptation is. It is written, 1 Corinthians 6. And beginning at verse 18, flee fornication. Let every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. See, I said, bad habit and sin, it interferes with your forward progress. Doesn't stop it necessarily unless you don't repent. But the more you repent, the deeper you repent, the more action you take to overcome whatever it is, the better you are going to be. Because it says right there, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We've talked about this before. In the beginning, when the children were coming out of Egypt, they were commanded to build a tabernacle, which is interesting because those people didn't have the wherewithal to pretty much build anything but bricks. But if you notice the account, he gave all of these people great knowledge and understanding of doing these fine works in leathers and metals. He does the same with you. And they built the tabernacle, and later they built the temple. What is the temple? If you go and do a study on the temple of God, you'll keep seeing the phrase, the pattern of the temple. So the pattern of the temple is a living metaphor. It's a symbol. And we're going to have that temple there in the millennium and beyond. But it will forever be the symbol of what is going on in the work of God. And it has to do with the spirit that is in you. Now, if you look at the temple, it has an outer court, an inner court, and a holy of holies. What do these represent? The outer court represents your arms and your legs. The inner court is your main body. And the holy of holies, where the Holy Spirit was your brain. Now, later, and here he says, do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Is that not the same as the Holy of Holies? You are now the temple of God. How did they conduct themselves at the temple? Whatever answer you come up with in reverence to that temple and the way they were in that temple, that's the way you are to be treated now. You are the temple of God. The pattern of the temple is the human body with God's Holy Spirit in it. The key here is the use of Scripture. You can rebuke the thought with this utterance. Rebuke the temptation. In doing so, Christ is rebuking Satan. So anytime a tempting thought comes to you, rebuke it. Send 1,000 arrows into it. have God kill it. Many other living metaphors and pictures that we could present that would help you call up and destroy the temptation. If you can stop the temptation, guess what? You'll stop sin in its tracks. So the key here is the use of scripture. If you utter the phrase, do that, if you can utter it from the mind, do that. Jesus uttered it, however you utter it, know that Christ is declaring it in and through you by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the only way for you to stop temptation is to allow Christ to do his work in and through you. Does this sound silly to the utter scripture when you're alone in some room? Notice Ephesians 6. And verse 12. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, we're doing a lot of talk among ourselves, I think, about politics, and the word I keep hearing come up is, did you hear the latest news story that thus and such is going on? Well, this is insanity. And that's the word that I use, that you hear a lot. You hear the news commentators, the ones that are telling the truth, say that this is insanity, and they bring in all kinds of commentators, and they say that this action and that action and this event over here, it's all insanity. It's because it's coming from an insane being. It's not just coming from these people out there that we are wondering why they're in government or whatever other authority that they have. It is coming from Satan. So any negative thing on this planet, especially in the mode of thought, in the manifestation of thought, is Satan. Psalm 34. Psalm 34 and verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. You know, I'm in a physical ailment right now, and I'm calling on those scriptures about healing. Putting everything into God's hands, first of all, because I'm not sure with this malady that I have where it came from. I've been to two hospitals with this, and they're not sure where it came from or how it started. And I've had a CAT scan and everything else. They're just not sure. Jesus Christ was given us the ultimate weapon against temptation that leads to sin. Jesus Christ is the Word of God, and that makes him the ultimate weapon against temptation. One final scripture on this, Hebrews 2:18. Hebrews 2:18. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor, meaning aid or relieve, them that are tempted. So take control of and manifest responsibility for your mind. Stop temptation.